Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into the latest edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. And man, do we have a lot to talk about, from the football coaching search to the ever-changing landscape of the Kansas men's basketball roster. We're going to get into all of it on this edition of the show. Before I bring in the guys, I want to make sure and tell everybody about our free trial at JayhawkSlant.com. If you are a Kansas fan, if you are a member of Jayhawk Nation and don't already have a membership to JayhawkSlant.com, what are you waiting for? Must be a moment like this. Just log into the site and you will see at the top of the page. You can take advantage of it through the rest of the month. It is the place on the web for the best insight that you will find into the men's basketball program, into Kansas football, from Shea Wildebor and John Kirby. Nobody covers the Hawks like they do. And if you're a fan like I am, there is no better place to be, especially right now. Speaking of Kirby and Shea, let's go ahead and bring the guys in. Shea, how you doing this morning, man?
Man, I'm good. Lovely weather. I hear the snow's coming, which is obviously natural for Kansas. But no, man, life is good. It feels good to be back on here with you guys.
Yes, this talk of snow on Monday and Tuesday is really kind of throwing me off. As somebody that loves snow, I'm not at all disappointed about it, but this has been such a weird spring. So yeah, I know what you're saying there. John, how are you doing today?
Good, fellas. What in the world are you talking about, snow? Are you serious?
Yes. Gary Lezak has been tweeting about it and said that, you know, even though we're 2 days out, that the likelihood is getting stronger and stronger every day, and that he is very much convinced it's going to happen. So, something for you to look forward to, Kirby.
Yeah, well, you guys just messed up my Sunday morning talking about snow. I didn't know anything about it.
It's coming.
Hey, don't worry about that. I mean, you know, we can talk about this Royals hot start instead, and then what, you know, walk off home runs from Salvi, where he absolutely knocked the cover off the ball instead.
I love this team. I love this team. They are so fun, man. I remember in 2015, Kemper and I were in the stands when they clinched the World Series against Toronto to go to the World Series. I don't know if you guys remember that. The Royals took the lead early. It started raining. There was a delay. I think Toronto loaded the bases with one out. Wade Davis came in, shut him down, and boom, they were World Series bound. And to me, there's no better place in the playoffs than Kauffman Stadium. So if they can do that again, I'm all for it.
Speaking of Wade Davis, how much fun is it to see Wade Davis and Greg Holland back in the bullpen?
Love it.
It's just
love it.
Awesome.
That ball that Salvi hit yesterday to win it, man, that thing was gone the minute it hit his bat. You could just tell with the launch angle and everything. It was like one of those deals you stand up and start cheering like the second it leaves the bat.
Man.
No doubter.
It was a shot.
Well,
it was an absolute rocket shot.
I want to tell you guys this, and I want to make a major announcement. I want to let you know that I have decided not to enter the transfer portal.
You didn't like your options, did you, John?
You might be the only one.
I could change my mind. My mind could change.
How insane has this? I mean, you know, college sports, we're all huge fans, obviously. That's why we do what we do. But it has absolutely, the transfer portal has turned the world upside down. I mean,
never seen anything like it. And I think at some point you have to get a control of it, because it's basically and Dick Vitale, I know he's taking a lot of heat, made a good point yesterday. You've got a guy at Joe Dooley who had a stud, always obviously under recruited, hit the portal. I mean, now they're losing. I mean, it's basically a route for guys that are under-recruited to have a few good years and then move on and just completely leave their teammates stranded. I mean, it's just – it's I don't know, man. I mean, I get it, but I don't – there has to be some type of – I don't want to say rule, but there's got to be something to ease the process. There's just there's like 1,300 guys in there. Well, I mean, everybody's jumping from Kentucky to from Creighton to Kansas. I mean, Kansas lost what, 5 guys to the portal?
My gosh.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean,
though.
It's crazy.
Here's what they're going to do though. It will stop, and this could be the last we see of it. But you know, they just voted last week to go forward with it, which means you know it's another year of craziness. You could have a whole nother summer coming up of just football. You know, guys doing it. You know, you're starting to get the end of spring practices for some of these programs. And what will happen is there'll be a backup quarterback who realizes he's not going to win the starting job or, you know, maybe a running back that's, you know, a quality back that says, hey, I'm sitting second or third on the depth chart if they're sitting behind a talented kid. I think we're going to see another wave of guys entering the portal come this summer. I think you've got to tell them by July 1. So I think June's going to be busy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be where, you know, take KU, for example. I mean, you know, you have a new coach. You know, you hope to get it in here maybe by May 1, somewhere in that area. So then, you know, kids go in the they take their finals. They go home. And, you know, they go home. They talk to family and friends. And, boom, they can just enter the portal right from there. So it's definitely a troubling time, you know, for some college guys. And then some college guys are losing them and then picking them right back up as fast as they're losing them. So you definitely want to be one of those programs who's coming out at least even or coming out on top.
You know, it's interesting because I've gotten into some debates on Twitter with high school coaches here in the Kansas City area on the football side, talking about just the sheer volume of guys that have entered and the fact that it's like a game of musical chairs. And when the music stops, you can already just by looking at the number of guys in the portal and the number of available roster spots, there aren't enough seats. And yet guys continue to flee to the portal. And, you know, I've had multiple coaches say to me, they're like, well, if you're just going to sit on the end of the bench, why not move on? And I say, okay, you're going to give up, especially if you're a scholarship athlete, you're going to give up your scholarship that, you know where you are, you have a spot, you have a home. And instead of sticking it out and things maybe working out, or you just end up getting your degree and moving on with your life and having that head start that a lot of people would kill for that don't have a scholarship, you throw your hat in the ring in hopes of basically winning the lottery right now. And it's the old adage of, you know, one in the hand, two in the bush. I mean, you just I don't see the logic in so many cases of this from the standpoint of the student athlete. I mean, I know, you know, I've read some of the tracking and the numbers, and they say the vast majority on the football, you know, a lot of those guys are walk-ons, and I understand looking for a better opportunity. But for the guys that are abandoning a scholarship in hopes of finding something else, and you're seeing they're not drawing the interest they expected, I mean, it's just it's crazy. And I really feel like a lot, especially in football, I feel like a lot of these guys are getting bad advice.
Well, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to the advice, and I can tell you this. Listen, I understand the rules, okay? You're not supposed to be contacted until you enter the portal and all that. Listen, let's not keep our heads in the sand because, I mean, I know for a fact that, you know, you've got former high school coaches that are getting calls that are, you know, they're working as the go-between sometime to get an idea who's calling or who's interested and things like that. I'm telling you, the best advice I could give somebody, don't enter the portal unless you feel you have something decent out there that you can go to. Because too many of these kids are entering the portal and they're realizing they're getting in there and then they're stuck. So, you know, I don't know. I would be damn sure that before I entered in there that I had a future home before I did it.
I agree with you completely, John. I mean, I almost feel like if a guy goes into the portal, he needs to be out of the portal in 24 to 48 hours, meaning he needs to have an option that, okay, I know where I'm going.
Well, Randy,
I know exactly where I'm going.
But hold on. I don't know if you want to do it in 24 to 48 hours because then it makes it look a little obvious, right?
Well,
so
maybe
stay in there. Okay. Maybe stay in there like 5 days or something to make it look like it wasn't so obvious.
That's a good point. See, and that's the insight that comes from John Kirby. So, you know, we've talked a lot about football. Shay, let's talk a little bit about basketball. Let's start there. You know, the roster for the Kansas Jayhawks has undergone just an extreme makeover from where we were just a month ago. Can you give us kind of a breakdown of exactly what has happened, who's left, who's coming in, and where things stand at the moment?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been I don't know if you guys remember at the end of the season when Kansas, when they lost to USC, I remember asking, you know, Coach Self, what do you do? Where do you go from here? He's like, we got to recruit better and we've got to develop. We have to make changes. And they've done, and they've done that. Listen, they've lost to the portal, Tyon Grant Foster, Tristan Inaruna, Latrell Josel, Jethro Muscadin, and Bryce Thompson, which to me was the surprise. I don't know if he was just not happy. And here's another thing too. And I'm not, this is not at all a knock on Bryce. He's a great kid. Just in general, kids these days, they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to be patient. They want the starting minutes now. And, you know, they don't want to wait. And my guess is that, he might've taken a look at the roster, seen what was coming back, seen what was coming in, and, you know, decided that maybe it was best for him to move on. Now, I don't know that for sure, but that was a surprise. I didn't expect to see Bryce in the portal. So you turn around, obviously they signed the two guys during the early signing period, Zach Clements and KJ Adams. Then they just landed Bobby Pettiford, a guard from North Carolina, Sidney Curry, a power forward, center big man from John A. Logan Community College, Cam Martin, another Division II kid, averaged 25-9, playing for Jeff Boshi, and then Joseph Yesesfu, who is a transfer from Drake. All guards and two big men, and they are still waiting for, you know, Ty Washington, who just released his top six, and Kansas is in it. You know, I know they really want to add an impact point guard. You've got Bryce Hamilton, the transfer transfer from UNLV, and then David Collins, another transfer from USF. So they've, you know, they're not done. Obviously, I know Christian Bishop committed to Texas a few days ago. And, you know, here's the thing on this kid, and he's a great kid, great family. You know, I know when Brady Manick went to North Carolina, you know, I think that kind of changed up things for him. You know, I'm not sure that Kansas was ready to go all in on that. I think that when you look at the roster, you notice that they need a point guard. You know, they need a guy that can come in and strictly play on the ball. And I'm not sure, aside from DeJuan Harris, that they have that right now. So I would expect them to add at least one more. If you can get a Ty or a David Collins or a you know, a Bryce Hamilton, you know, another guard that can handle the ball a little bit, they'd like to do that. But yeah, a lot of change, man. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Ochai. You don't know what's going to happen with Jalen. I have a pretty good idea, but to me, the elephant in the room is, when is Marcus Garrett going to come out and make a definitive statement about his future? You know, a lot of guys, you got a Ty Washington. I mean, does that change his feeling on this roster? I mean, is behind closed doors, you know, is Coach Self telling him, hey, this is what we feel is going to happen? It hasn't been announced yet, but so there's a lot of things to kind of sit back and monitor and kind of visualize what's going to happen next.
Before we get into the really, you know, dig more into the roster and get your opinion on next year, Shay, what are your thoughts on Ochai and Wilson testing the waters? I mean, where do you see that going for both players?
I think Wilson comes back. I think this is, I mean, what he's got 21, 22 games under his belt at Kansas. Maybe a few more. What were they? I'd have to go back and look at the number. Yeah, but I mean, he's got less than 30 games, I'm guessing, at Kansas. And he started out hot. I'm kind of cooled off and then kind of got back on track again. I just, he needs another year of development, and so does Och. I mean, if they're smart about it and they look at the draft, they look what's coming out. I mean, obviously, you know, you'll have the impact guys, the guys that'll go right away. You'll have guys that are, you know, mid to late first round picks, but then, you know, you got guys overseas, you got guys that sneak in, you've got just a plethora of guys that declare every year and we never hear from them again. I mean, never. Josh Shelby, we never heard from. Cliff Alexander, we never heard from. And I mean, the list goes on and on. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I would expect both to be back. But if one does leave, I would expect it to be Oach. I think he's going to really give it some serious thought. He's going to, get the feedback, find out where he would be. And the now is a lot of guys early in the second round or midway through the second round are getting guaranteed contracts. And so that's something you have to monitor. I think it all depends on the feedback and what NBA teams tell them. But, I mean, listen, they all need to come back. I mean, they do. It's another year to develop. It's another year to have the opportunity to shine. You've got more pieces around you. You can kind of open up the offense. You don't have to be the – I mean, when you look at last year, if something was going to happen, it was either going to be Marcus driving, or Oach hitting shots or Jalen hitting shots or Christian. I mean, they need to come back and just work on the game. I mean, his shot was hit and miss. Getting to the basket isn't a strength. I think there's a lot of things that he can work on. And why wouldn't you want to come back for a year at Kansas, live that lifestyle, and get the opportunity to grow, play on the biggest stage, and make another run at it?
So what's left? What's left to do at this point for this coaching staff? And what are some of the names that you're tracking that are possible additions that are still left out there that maybe you haven't mentioned yet? Is there anybody?
Not that I know of. I mean, there's all the kid Marcus Williams from Wyoming is a kid I thought that they would make a run at. He just committed to Texas A&M. They had a Zoom call last week with the David Collins kid that I mentioned from South Florida. I briefly talked to Bryce Hamilton, who's originally from California, leaving UNLV. And basically at this time, he just said he couldn't talk about anything. So I don't know if he's still in the process of putting a list together, thinking about what's going on. I mean, if you can add Ty, you have to add him now. I mean, you do. And I know a lot of people think Kentucky's in there as strong as they are. He's from Arizona. You can't count those guys out. I thought Texas and Auburn would be in there, and they weren't. The thing I know is that right when he backed out and opened up his recruitment, Kansas was the first on the scene. He's Coach Soap is the point man here. Normally assistants step in and kind of lay the groundwork. This time around, that wasn't the case. If you can add one or two or three of those guys, and then you wait till July or August, see what Oach and Jalen are going to do, and if you can add more, you can add more. But let me say this: the job that this staff has done since losing March 22nd is remarkable. I mean, just absolutely. You bring it, and I know a lot of people aren't excited about Cam Martin because he's a Division II guy. I mean, this guy's a baller, man. 25 points, 9.2 rebounds a game. He's a stud. I know Sidney Curry, people look at his height, 6'8", and think Cliff Alexander. Dude, this guy is going to be a high-impact guy. I think Zach Clements is a guy that can step in and stretch the floor. I think KJ Adams is a guy that's going to play with a ton of energy, a ton of passion, and I know that doesn't always equate points in the scorebook, but I mean rebounds, hustle plays, all those kind of things matter. I think Bobby Pettiford's going to want to step in right away and try to get his hands on the ball. You got the guys coming back, you got Christian Brown who really needs a bounce back year. You've got Dewan Harris who was fabulous down the stretch. If Oach comes back, David's coming back, Mitch is obviously coming back. I think you've got a chance to have a really, 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 really good team. If you can add a difference maker like Ty in the backcourt, I think they've got a chance to have a really good year. And when you look at last year, people say, well, they lost, 33 points to whatever it was to USC. This is a team that was coming off a season in which they were projected to win a national title, lost a Doak, lost Dotson, and finished second in the Big 12, was a nationally top 15th ranked team, and it's like panic time. I mean, this staff knows what they're doing. They've been through these wars before. They've been in the trenches. They know. Self told everybody at the end of the season that change was coming, and it's coming. So, I expect next year to kind of be, I guess if you want to call a bounce back year, finishing second in the Big 12, a bounce back year. But yeah, I mean, I think they'll be back, and Self has a ton to work with. He doesn't have to stick with one or two guys. I mean, if if someone's not playing well, if someone's struggling or in or out or whatever it may be, you know, he can look to the bench, pull somebody out, bring somebody in. And I think he's going to have fun. I've talked to him. He's fired up. Last year did not sit well with him. It did not sit well with his staff. You know, he's got the contract now, new AD. You know, I think he's ready to roll. And I think he's going to do whatever it takes within reason to put together the team that he wants. And he's in the process of doing that.
Shea, last question on basketball. If Jalen and Ochai both come back, give me your early breakdown of next year's roster and the team based on all the changes that we have seen so far.
I mean, is Marcus coming back? I mean, let's say Marcus decides to come back. You got Marcus, you know, you've got Oach, I would think, Jalen, David McCormick in the starting lineup. I mean, and then you can bring off if you get a Ty-Ty, or if you get another player, then you can, you know, Zach Clements you can bring in, you know, KJ Adams, Sidney Curry. I expect Cam Martin to really play a big role. Again, he's going to be, to me, he's the guy that could really break out. I love his game. I love that he knows where his bread is buttered. He isn't somebody that pretends he's somebody else. I mean, he gets with it. You know, Joseph, the transfer from Drake, I think he's going to be a baller. I think Self's going to have a ton of options. I think you're going to have to fight for minutes. And that's generally when Self's teams are at their best. When he has options he can play with, he can, you know, do different things depending on matchups and all those things. So yeah, I think it's a great, great, great mix. He's gonna have the guys ready. I'm interested to see what Marcus does. If Marcus comes back, that changes everything. Obviously, you got the defensive player of the year 2 years ago. I think with all the options they've got, and you bring back Oach and Jalen, and I think, you know, you've got a top team.
A little bit of a walk-off shot there from Shea Wildebor, saying we got a chance to come back with a top-end squad for next year, which is nothing new for the Kansas Jayhawks, but something exciting for Kansas fans as we continue with the uncertainty and the soap opera that is the transfer portal. Shea, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Have a good Sunday.
That's Shea Wildebor, our basketball insider. Let's shift on over to the gridiron now with our man, John Kirby. I want to say this respectfully, the most tenured man on the Kansas football beat. Kirby, you've got your finger on the pulse more than anybody that covers this program. Things as unpredictable and as crazy as this offseason has been, it's about to heat up even more with a national coaching search that the new athletic director just announced is going to be taking place. Before we talk about the specific candidates and how you think the process is going to play off, how do you think Goff attacks this thing, Kirby?
Well, Randy, I think, first of all, he's already started attacking it, right? I mean, that was definitely one of the things that was talked about in the interview process when the committee and Gerard went out and tried to find an athletic director. So, you know, that's... he's already had a plan in place and some ideas of how this thing would go. You know, something that's important that I don't think a lot of people understand is, you know, Goff was at Kansas when Mangino started. He worked there. He has a feel of what that was like. You know, he's also been around Fitzgerald in the Northwestern program. And that's, again, that's similar to what he's been able to do there. It's been amazing. I think I counted the other day, the guy's gone to 10 bowl games in 13 years at Northwestern. Well, Goff's been the guy that's overseen. He's been the administrator to oversee football. I mean, he's worked very close with Fitzgerald. So Goff knows and sees what good football looks like. And he also knows and has an idea of what it takes at places that haven't been that successful at winning. So I always go back to that. That is a key recipe at Kansas because there's been a lot more that haven't done it than had. So, you know, I assume he's going to use, this hasn't been announced by Turnkey, but, you know, they were part of the athletic director search. I'm assuming the word was back in the beginning when they came in that if there was going to be a football search, they would handle that too. They haven't announced or updated that on their website or anything, but I expect them to. And then also, how will Goff attack a search committee, like an internal search committee, like they used for the athletic director search, you know, that hired him? And that internal committee they had, there were some great people on that. I mean, some good KU people who are sharp, that understand Kansas athletics. So, you know, I can see Goff going out and forming some type of a committee. You know, he just got here, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, just some people to bounce ideas off and be there along the way with him. It doesn't hurt, you know, to, you know, maybe take a handful of people, 4 or 5 people, and put them on a committee and use them as a resource. So, you know, and I'm not going to get into details of what I know here, but I can tell you that he's done his research. Goff is, I believe he's reached out and talked to people that I've always thought people in the past should have reached out and talked to about the Kansas job and the research that you can do to go back and revisit history of things that worked, things that didn't work, and some of the things that I'm hearing about him. I'm extremely impressed, and I'm excited to know what he's doing. So, you know, I think what he'll do is he'll start out probably with, you know, probably a decent sized list of candidates. You know, I don't know a number. I mean, I guess I could come up with 10 to 15 maybe. And, you know, you schedule Zoom calls, okay? And you spend, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour with people on Zooms. I mean, you can set these things up. Everybody's doing Zoom calls now. Everybody knows how to do them. You know, assuming turnkey, the search firm, that, you know, they can help get those things set up. You get a committee, you spend 3 days, you listen to, you know, 4 coaches a day, you hear their plan. And then from there, maybe you narrow it down to 6, okay? And then you go into a second Zoom call where it's an hour to another hour and a half, and then you start getting into specifics. You start talking a lot more about, you know, everything from, hey, donor engagement to, you know, what do you plan to do? You know, what's your weekly practice plan during a game week? You know, what is your, how do you evaluate players? Give me your evaluation process. You know, give me your recruiting plan. So, you know, the big thing is, Randy, and I've said this, is that when you go hire a coach, and we can get in this a little more at Kansas, it comes down to evaluation. And if you can find a guy who's really good and has had to evaluate to build his programs, you know, I think that's the key. And then from there, you know, you narrow it down to 2 or 3. You've heard everybody's plan. You get a chance to see him on the Zoom. You narrow it down to 2 or 3, and then you either go see them or they come see you. You fly them in. I'm assuming you probably go see them. I don't know how many sitting head coaches would want to, you know, fly out and visit other campuses. I don't know how that's all going to work, but that's kind of how I think it'll all play out if I just had to guess.
Okay. Now, I know, as much as I want to and as other people want to ask, you know, what do you know? Who has he talked to? You've told me repeatedly you're not going to answer that question. So I get that. So the next most important question, what do you think Goff is looking for, and what would you look for as somebody that has been around this program longer than anyone that covers it?
Well, I can say I don't know that anybody that he's talked to, right? I mean, if there's somebody that he's spoken with, it has stayed way down. And remember the AD search? That thing was incredibly quiet up until True. About the last 24 hours. So, again, the firm, the committee, they were phenomenal at keeping things down. You know, there were people out there trying to report. I remember that there were even people saying, hey, Goff is out of it, right? Like midweek, the week that before he was announced, I remember there were people saying, here, Goff's out of it. So, I mean, you know, you got to be careful with what you're doing and what you're saying. And at this point, I can tell you, I know people who are closely connected to some of the coaches that I expect to be in this, okay? And at this point, I have not heard one thing. So I really think when people, if someone tells you they think that they hear that someone's been contacted or talking to Goff, I'll tell you, I don't buy it one bit. I think it would be a lie, and I think it would be inaccurate. So, you know, we started to talk about, Randy, development, player development, and evaluation. That's what it comes down to at Kansas, all right? Because look what's going on right now. I mean, look at all the players that are in Kansas and the Kansas City metropolitan area, okay? Kansas is still a hard place to recruit to. I talk to the recruits. I talk to a lot of the coaches. It's not easy. So you have to be able to out-evaluate people. Just go back and look at Mangino's teams. I mean, Daryl Stuckey. I don't know if he had one or two Power 5 offers. Aqib Talib, Kansas was the only Power 5 offer. Derek Fine was drafted in the NFL. KU was his only offer. Chris Harris, you know, Pro Bowler. Kansas was his only offer. You can run up and down of that Kansas Orange Bowl team, and you find all kind of guys. Most of them didn't have more than one or two Power 5 offers. So you've got to know what type of kid you're going after. You got to know, is he a leader? What is your evaluation process? How many people do you talk to? Do you talk to his teachers? Do you talk to people, you know, who can vouch for his character? I mean, that's what you have to do at Kansas. Listen, everybody has recruiters, right? I mean, you can go find coaches all over the place that have connections in Texas or connections in Oklahoma and Arkansas and Florida, wherever. Everybody can recruit. Most of those guys can all recruit. They can all build relationships. The key is, can you build relationships and get the guys that you feel can help you win? So, you know, I think you've got to look at two if you can. I'm not saying this is a prerequisite, but you've got to look at somebody that's been part of turnarounds. You've got to look at somebody that's taken a program and won, and then maybe taken another program and won. And, you know, if you find somebody that's done it like twice or even more, that's what you need at Kansas. You need somebody who understands the grind, the difficult process to get where you need to be. So, you know, Kansas is hard. It is not easy to win at Kansas. It's a, you know, I know you follow it with some of the players you guys have in your 7-on-7 program, but you know, you get Iowa State's down here with Shieldhouse, who does a great job, and you know, yes. Clemson's in here, and Oklahoma's in here, and Nebraska's in here, and listen, it is hard. It's even hard for K-State and Missouri sometimes to keep players around here. So you've got to be really good at what you want. I can't tell you how many staffs since 98, since I started covering this, I've gotten to know pretty much every guy on every staff and got to build a friendship and a trust with them. I can't tell you how many times people say, you don't know how hard it is to win at Kansas. I mean, you know, you don't have a large recruiting base. You're in a small state with what, 5 million people in the state of Kansas? I don't know how many there is. And you know, you've got two major schools with KU and K-State fighting in the same state, which is a small state to begin with. Like I said, you know, your recruiting territories aren't big. So Kansas is a place that you've got to have a little bit of a grind, a lot of organization, and a strong work ethic. So those are some of the things I think, he'll be looking for.
Now, you mentioned something there that a lot of people have asked about, and I'm kind of curious. You talked about the recruiting side is what makes winning at Kansas just so hard. Is that the biggest factor, John? Or is there something else that makes this such a difficult place to win?
Well, Randy, you don't have, I mean, you know, look at the state, look at University of Missouri, okay? I mean, they've got, I don't know how many people in the state, a few more million maybe than Kansas has, and they're the only major school in the state, all right? So, you know, they've done a nice job on and off over the last, 20 years of convincing kids in state, especially when they're winning, to stay at Missouri. They've done a nice job of building it with their base. But they've got a lot more players to do that with. When you look at Kansas, I mean, you know, Mangino did a great job locally. He did a nice job of hitting those areas in Oklahoma and Texas, which were regional. And they didn't get a lot out of their lane there. I mean, they kind of stayed within a territory and spent a lot of time. I mean, you know, Bill Young, he knew about Chris Harris, right? He knew about Chris Harris because they worked and they worked and they knew where players were that they felt they could develop. So the recruiting part of it is just hard based off of a numbers aspect.
Okay, so we've talked about what makes it tough. We've talked about what Goff is looking for. Here's what I'm going to do. I know you said there are changes coming to the hot board coaching list that you put together and that you posted just a few days ago. But I want to take some names from your original list and have you give me just a brief description and your thoughts on some of these guys. And to clarify, this list doesn't include Emmett Jones, who we already know will be a candidate, obviously. You ready to go?
I'm ready. Hey, if I forget some details, man, give me a break. I'm getting old. My memory's getting bad.
Oh, old man Kirby here. Okay. All right, let's start with Lance Leopold from Buffalo.
Yeah, and hey, by the way, I do want to say this. It's funny. Everybody says it how it looks on paper, but it's actually Leipold. So,
Oh, okay.
I don't think anybody ever really calls him by the right name. But, hey, listen, the guy was, I think he was on Barry Alvarez's staff, was a GA, left there, went to a couple places, then took over at Wisconsin Whitewater and went like 109-6. And they won, I think it was 5 or 6 national championships, which were D3. Six of them. Then he took over at Buffalo and they've played for 2 conference championships, which has never been done. They've been to 3 bowl games. I think he's won 30 games in the last 3 years. Listen, the guy's won at places that really there's never been a lot of winning. And I'll tell you, this is interesting. I was talking with somebody the other day, and somebody was telling me, they said, what he did at Wisconsin Whitewater was amazing. And I was like, and I got to thinking, I was talking to this guy who's very familiar with him, and he said, Wisconsin Whitewater hasn't won since he left. And I was like, really? So I went back and looked this up. I really don't know anything about Wisconsin Whitewater. After he left, they have not played for a national championship since he left. So that just goes to show you sometimes what a coach can do and what a coach means to a program.
Absolutely. That's an interesting point. I wasn't aware of that. Okay, another favorite, especially on our message board, Jeff Monken from Army.
Yeah, great coach, great administrator, oversees a program. You know, he was with Georgia Tech with Paul Johnson. Then he took over Georgia Southern, which eventually was taken over by Willie Fritz after him. I'm sure you'll ask me about him soon. And, you know, now he's at Army. He's doing great things at Army. You know, one of the things that always comes up about Monken is his offense. You know, what will he run? Can he really run triple option? Well, you know, the word is, and we've discussed this, that's not what he plans to do, okay? And here's something else that people, I think, is a misnomer about him. He doesn't call his offense, okay? He oversees a program. He's like a president of the program. He oversees all aspects, and he has somebody that calls it. So, you know, it's not like he's married to option football. It's what he does at the place he's at to win. Now, he goes somewhere else, he's got himself surrounded by people who know other offenses. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, he could change pretty quick, and it's not something that he's 100% always going to do if he were to go somewhere else.
You mentioned Willie Fritz. Let's go there now. Let's talk about the man at Tulane, who's obviously got a lot of ties to the state of Kansas.
Yeah, you know, he went to your alma mater, Shawnee Mission Northwest.
Yes, he did.
You know, so, he, you know, he's been at some, you know, everywhere he's gone, he's won. Central Missouri State, Sam Houston State, Georgia Southern, Tulane. I'm missing somewhere. Coffeyville. He was at Coffeyville. I think he won a national championship there. So, you know, if you look at him, he's been at all different kind of levels, and he's had some pretty good success. I know at Tulane. Again, you know, when you talk about what these first 3 names you've thrown out, Randy, the one thing that you look at is, those are all hard places to win, right? Buffalo's hard to win. Army's hard to win. Tulane's hard to win. So, you know, these guys have all gone to places and shown they can at least, and I don't know what your definition of winning is, but I mean, you know, I know Fritz is, I think his years have been 6 wins, 7 wins, but still at a place like Tulane, that is not easy to go in there and sustain that kind of winning. I know Tommy Bowden, maybe back in the day, maybe late 90s, had some really good years there, but it's not very often that they do it at Tulane.
Okay. Another familiar name to Kansas fans and to people from here in Kansas City, Rockhurst alum, former Kansas linebacker, and head coach at Illinois, Kevin Kane.
Yeah, you know, I know I'm getting old when guys are being mentioned as a possible candidate for a head coaching job, and I wrote the commitment story of when they committed to Kansas as a recruit, Randy. Okay? So, I mean, you know, listen, Kevin K, man, great guy, good football coach, right? He understands Kansas. He was at Kansas when Mark Mangino came in on the ground floor as a player. He got a chance to witness what it took to turn that thing around. Kevin Kane's a great example of what it takes to win at Kansas. You know, he came in there with him and Banks Floodman.
And he was a walk-on. That's the thing that I always point to, too. He knows what that hard work really took.
Well, you had Nick Reed, you had Banks Floodman, and those linebackers, those three guys are a great example of what it takes to win at Kansas. As freshmen, they got kicked around. As sophomores, caught on a little bit more. Junior year, they had figured out. By their senior year, I want to say they were the, I think Kansas was like the number two or number three rushing defense in America, because those linebackers were so good. They learned how to play the game, but it took them 4 years to learn and keep getting better and better and better. So, you know, Kevin Kane understands the grind. And, you know, I look at Kevin Kane sometimes and see some similarities a little bit with Fitzgerald at Northwestern, who obviously Goff is very familiar with. So, you know, I think Kevin Kane's a guy that'll definitely get a look at some point in this process.
What about Chris Creighton from Eastern Michigan?
Again, I mean, Eastern Michigan is as hard to win at as some of those other places, if not harder. I mean, the guy's been to three bowl games there. You know, he was 32-9, I believe it was, at Ottawa University in Kansas. Then he went to Drake, and he won like 40, 41 games in 4 years or however long he was there. And then he's at Eastern Michigan and doing a great job and has shown that he can take programs and turn them around and win. And man, I'll tell you, Eastern Michigan, you know, we talk about Kansas having struggled in football over decades. Man, go look up Eastern Michigan. I mean, golly, you talk about a place that just is hard to win. That's one there. I think he took him to back-to-back bowls. It's the only time, and listen, we at KU and people who follow KU can feel this. He's the only person that's ever taken Eastern Michigan to back-to-back bowl games in this program's history. And if you think back, look at Kansas. They've only been to back-to-back bowl games one time in the program's history. So that kind of gives you a little parallel between the two.
Another name that is very intriguing to a lot of people on our message boards, as well as myself, Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning.
Yeah, you know, he's from the area. He knows the area. Played at William Jewell. He's coached high school football in the Kansas City area. Right now, he's the defensive coordinator at Georgia. He's been at Arizona State. He's been at Alabama. He's been at Memphis. So, you know, he's been at some pretty good programs. He's seen a lot of good football. You know, it will be interesting. I think, and this is just me. This is just me talking. Assuming I have an idea of the type of people that could be in the mix for this, but, you know, for a coordinator, they'll have to really knock the socks off Goff to, I think, to take out a head coaching candidate who's proven he can oversee a program and win. But, you know, when you look at a Lanning with his connections to the area and the success and some of the programs he's been at, or a Kevin Kane who's actually experienced it, you know, those are the type of guys that you never want to discount.
What about Jay Norvell, head coach at Nevada?
Yeah, you know, he's done a good job at Nevada. He, you know, he's an air raid guy. You know, one of the creators of the air raid, Hal Mumme, his son, Matt Mumme, is the offensive coordinator with him at Nevada. They've done a nice job. You know, one of the interesting things about Norvell, you know, he was at Nebraska and Oklahoma when KU and Mangino were putting together those string of bowl games and some nice wins. So He was in a conference with Kansas and saw them win. So, you know, somebody like a Norvell may be interested in the job because he remembers back when he was assistant at other schools what Kansas can be. So, you know, you take those guys like that and you you put them on the list because they have some experience and belief that Kansas can win.
Now, I know you were at the Goff press conference and have followed him for a while now. What are your early impressions of the new man in charge of the Kansas athletic department?
Yeah, Randy, I like him a lot. You know, I was hearing rumors and getting some words early in the process that really the type of people they were looking for were sitting ADs. Okay, and it's kind of funny that we're talking about that here on this podcast because, you know, the people with the most traction for the head coaching opening are head coaches. But, you know, here's Goff, who wasn't a sitting AD. But now that you look back on everything and some of the stories I've heard, listen, this is the guy. He was the best choice. He was the best fit. And maybe there's a guy who's a sitting AD out there, but he may not know Kansas. He may not be the best fit. And I think Travis Goff is a great fit. I've been super impressed with him. You know, I don't want to give details. I touched on this earlier. I know that he has gone out and researched and talked to a lot of people about the type of coach Kansas needs. And I've been very impressed with some of the things that I've heard. You know, he knows Kansas. He's grown up a Kansas fan from Dodge City, went to school at KU, has worked at KU. He's followed KU. So, you know, you bring in a guy who's got some familiarity of the area and the program. I think that's just kind of a built-in bonus.
I want to wrap this up with another question that is really at the forefront of the minds of many Kansas fans. Can we get some kind of a timeline of what to expect with how this whole thing is going to move forward, John?
Yeah, you know, Randy, I would say, you know, I would put like maybe a May 1st, okay, or 2 weeks. I think that's incredibly fair. That's about how long most searches go. You know, I don't know that he has to be pushed on this. Listen, Kansas has an advantage right now. They're the only school looking for a head football coach, okay? This isn't the typical late November, early December push where schools are firing coaches and next thing you know, you're competing against 10 Power 5 programs for a head coach. So, you know, he can take his time. Obviously, you'd like to get a coach in here that you know, if he doesn't go with Emma Jones, get a coach in that can meet the players, give them, you know, a little bit of their pitch and vision of the program. Because what's going to happen is, Randy, the finals, I think stop day is May 6th or 7th, and then you'll go into finals, and then the players go home, okay? So players go home for a couple weeks, then they'll report back for fall camp. So I think you'd like to have somebody that can definitely sit the players down, if it's not Emmett Jones, and, you know, convince them, hey, we're going to get this thing going. We're going to win here. We need you. Because with this one-time transfer, it does get a little scary, all right? These guys can go home. You get people in their ears. And like you and I talked about earlier, it's not always the smartest decision that the players make or the advice that they're given. But, you know, that's something that we'll have to watch here with this one-time transfer just getting approved. So, you know, I think 2 weeks is an incredibly fair timeline, and it gives him a chance to do all of his due diligence and form committees and work with the firm and vet candidates and then do the interviews and find his guy.
That's the final word from our man, John Kirby, and that will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We have been all over the board with all the myriad changes happening with the men's basketball program. Shea Wildebor joined us earlier, then John Kirby. You just heard him talk about the coaching search with the football program, the changes in the athletic department, the transfer portal, everything that's going on. Like we said earlier, if you're not a subscriber to JayhawkSlant.com, you have been waiting for a moment like right now. We've got a great promo going on the website. Visit JayhawkSlant.com for more to find out how you can become a member and save some money through the end of the month. For our man Shay, John, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.